Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. Time for some geeky things on a weekly basis. You know who it is, it's your host Dom, aka Brother Dom on the internet. And once again, I am joined by the host that is keeping the world a better place. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hello everyone, it's me, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snowqueer on Tumblr, and we are here with the latest geeky news of last week, mostly.
Yes. Mostly last week. In fact, we're even going to jump in the Wayback Machine and go previously. But before we do, my friend Steph, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. It's been a... I've had an interesting weekend. I've kind of shut myself in and just read a bunch of books, so...
Ah, that sounds very, very on brand for you. I'm not going to lie. What's good? I had a nice weekend, too. I went out on Friday, saw some old friends, saw some... not as old friends, you know, reconnected with people, and then slept a lot and ate, and ordered, not takeout, but, you know, order in food, so that was nice. Nice few days, and a lot of cosplay planning, which is nice. I was in a, I was doing a, I fell into a rabbit hole today on Tumblr of my actual favorite ship, I guess it would be, the Lucio Diva ship, which has a great name that's not just a portmanteau, which is amazing.
You want to tell us what it is?
Yes, I will. I'm a good host. It's Bunny Ribbit. So not only is it not a mashup, it's also kind of a pun. That's great. I love puns. I also like the Boombox ship for that very reason, which is Junkrat and Lucio. Because Boombox is a great name for any ship. Far Mercy gets a pass because it's kind of a pun. But yes, yes, yes. Besides all of that stuff, we should get into the geeky stuff from last week. So, like, last week, the trailer for Logan came out, another one.
Yeah, neither of us watched it in time to talk about it on the last podcast, so we're talking about it today.
Not only that, I just completely forgot about it. I won't even lie, I forgot about it because I just couldn't care, and now we've both seen it. What are your preliminary thoughts?
My preliminary thoughts are that if I wasn't an X-Men fan, I wouldn't be interested. And I'm accept that it's cool to see, like, a little girl in the action role. And as someone who's not really an X-Men fan, I'm not that interested.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. I think that, what is that, 20th Century Fox? They're 100% are either banking on your loyalty to Wolverine or hyped up about seeing a little girl in a superhero role. Because, wow, that trailer did not make me excited about either of those concepts whatsoever. My only experience to X-23 is in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Mm-hmm. And she was on my main roster. Like, the three people I used was Zero from Mega Man X series, Dante from Devil May Cry, and X-23. I thought she was super awesome, super cool. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to see a movie with X-23 in it. And they're like, well, what if she was a little girl version? And I just say, you know what, this isn't for me. Hope the people that it's for love it. I'm not excited. Maybe the next trailer will be dope.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Also, so, canonically, she's, what, a clone of Wolverine, right?
Yeah, and also, like, this... Go ahead with what you were going to say. Sorry, and then I'll jump in my thought.
Yep. So my point was basically, so she has the metal claws, which are very part, whole big thing in the story, and, like, Sony's X, or the 20th Century Fox's X-Men, so... Is this girl, like, a perfect clone? Because the way they were talking kind of made it seem like she was just some rando from the streets that found them. So, I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing that that I think is weird is that they're... This universe, from what I understand, this universe where this Logan movie is set is not quite the same X-Men universe as the other X movies, despite having Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman in it.
That's stupid.
Which is just unnecessarily confusing to me.
So it's kind of like a reboot sort of deal?
Yeah, like, but I think also a reboot, which will also be the last movie that Hugh Jackman will probably be in. Oh, no.
I mean, there was like a reboot sometime in the past, but with the same characters.
Yeah.
And that's why Halle Berry wasn't Storm anymore.
Yeah.
So, also I appreciate that X-Men comics are canon within this universe. From what I understand, that was always the case, like, in the comics, that people drew comics about the heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, Steve Rogers worked on the Captain America comic for a while in the 60s when he was, like, on the run from being Captain America.
That's funny. But also, And that it looked like in this trailer that he was wearing, that Wolverine was wearing the yellow suit, which, so they just also took artistic liberties within that series to like just make that up because he never wore that. And so is that a callback for the fans or an FU to the fans? I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I guess if we never see it, we'll never know.
Hey, you know, that'll be the next reboot when they get the new Wolverine who's not Hugh Jackman. But another nerdy movie news, we got Star Wars 8. It got a title.
It did.
It's
It's The Last
The Last
Jedi.
Jedi. Yes. What a title. That's so vague that it can mean all kinds of things.
It's like very stressful to me because I like there's a post going around Tumblr that has it like that has changed the Last Jedi subtitle to something like, "If I have to watch Luke Skywalker die with my own two eyes, I swear to God." Like
Well, I don't know. If Luke die, what do we do if Luke dies? Who do we blame? Whose fault is it if Luke dies?
I don't know. Like who do we blame, in universe or like
In the real
in the
world,
real world?
we'll know who to blame in universe, I assume. I assume he won't just die off screen to nobody's like, who did it? We don't know. It wasn't Kylo Ren though, because he's a punk.
Kylo Ren kills off the entire original trio.
There's something magical about that though. But we can't kill off the original trio because I think it's overkill to kill both your parents. Like, it's like, okay, buddy, like, you already killed your dad.
We
Killing
know
your
you're
mom
an egg
now.
lord.
Like, it's just overkill at that point. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think. He might just fall off a cliff or something.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, I don't necessarily think that it means he's going to die. I think maybe it means that they're just not going to do Jedi like they used to. Like the Jedi lifestyle is a very specific way to be a Force user. And
Yeah, that's because people are going to keep having the Force. Like, you know, if the Sith returned, but there were always people with the Force that probably weren't great dudes. So, like, the Sith never left.
yeah, and I think like the whole the issue of the first of like the prequels was that everyone was like, "Oh, Anakin's a really powerful Force user. He's gonna bring balance to the Force," which is imbalanced because there's a lot of Jedi and only two Sith. I wonder how that's gonna happen.
I mean, they were super powerful.
They were like, "We'll get rid of the Sith. That's how balance works." No, he actually did bring balance to the Force by killing all of the Jedi, like,
And then becoming a
and then
Sith.
becoming a Sith, like. But I think if they want to maintain that balance of the Force without that, I think that something like Grey Jedi, which are like Jedi who aren't like monks, and
Oh.
have like a more nuanced version of how the Force works and should be used, but aren't evil either.
Oh, so more religious allegory, it sounds like.
Yeah, it would be an interesting path to go, especially considering that while there was no romantic subplot really in the first movie, I don't know that that's going to stay for Rey, you know? I feel like she will probably have, whether with Finn or someone else, some kind
Oh,
of
man.
romantic storyline before the movie is over.
Maybe it's. You know what they shouldn't do? Because it will, like, really not bring them good times. If they make Rey gay, things could go very poorly. Because obviously the bigots will come out. Screw them, I don't care about them. But there's a lot of effort put into like the Jedi Stormtrooper ship, and to both upset bigots and the shippers, I think people are gonna have a lot of fire to throw at Star Wars. Obviously, I kid. Obviously, I kid. But I don't know. I think they might do it. There's no one in this. I think people want Finn and Poe to get together, and we don't need like another dude for Rey to fall in love with. So.
Yeah, I mean the only other dude who's around is Kylo, and I'm not ever gonna be into that. So,
I don't.
no matter how he redeems himself.
I mean, if he would like the redemption he makes for himself would have to be so grand, and also like he could redeem himself to be like best Jedi person ever, but I would still need some more characterization other than I was just an edgelord for a while. Because there's people that have in fiction canonically done, well, I don't know, I won't say worse things. He blew up a solar system, but like besides that, there have been people that have been like more junky interpersonally. He's just kind of like a bratty dude. So he's not even interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he's no Draco Malfoy.
Well, I think the other thing that I'm worried about with the title is that I don't know whether... Well, I don't know how much you can look into it and dig for hidden meaning, because if you look at the rest of the subtitles of Star Wars movies, none of them are that deep. Like, Attack of the Clones, The Empire Strikes Back. Like, they tell you pretty explicitly what the movie is about.
Yeah, Force Awakens was... It was odd in that, I don't know. When Rey's Force was awoke, that just seemed... There wasn't really... like a build up plot wise to it. There wasn't like a, oh crap, like people weren't talking about it. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, that's good, but I'd have to, I'm curious to see what they'll do. Maybe it's the last Jedi to be born or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like as much as I want to theorize about it, it can't be that deep because it's a Star Wars title. It's what my brain keeps bringing me back around to.
I mean, I think that's where the theorizing comes from, because it's like, well, either Luke has to die, or something else. Or the
Jedi Order has to die, like as a concept.
Yeah, and it's, if Luke dies, people will be sad. If the concept comes to an end, that just seems unfulfilling and kind of baity. And I think that's why people are trying to speculate, because like, what could possibly happen that would fulfill our hopes? Spoiler alert, it's nothing. We just need Finn to wake up. You know, Star Wars 8 getting a title is more effort than... like that's more conversation than that event deserved.
Yeah. Well, the other drama about it was that the title font was in red, as opposed to the yellow that all of the other movies have been in. And so red, since red's a Sith color, it's like, is something really bad going to happen?
You would think that, but I mean, at the same time, like, yellow's not really a Jedi color, is it? Like, their sabers are like blue and green.
Yeah.
So. I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems more threatening than the neutral yellow title.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a story about, like, some ancient Jedi or something, and Maz Kanata's going to come back, and we're going to be like, oh, this actually was very complicated and overdone. You could have just named it anything else, like, The Jedi Do More Stuff, Part 8. The Skywalkers keep screwing up the universe. Anyway, yeah, well,
carrying on from that.
Carrying on from that, you want to hear something more? It's more weird stuff. Suicide Squad is nominated for an Oscar.
Oh my lord!
What's yeah? The Oscar nominations came out, and if anybody's into that, lots of things got nominated. But the funny thing is that Suicide Squad got a nomination for best like makeup and that sort of thing. It's a technical Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think that's off base, really.
No, yeah, I mean, like, I think it's funny because now it can call itself Oscar-nominated movie Suicide Squad without giving any context on what about the movie was Oscar-nominated, but...
I think people will be like, what, for music or something? Like, they automatically will assume it's a technical Oscar.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you know, makeup nod isn't off-base.
Nah, I mean, because Harley's makeup was pretty good, Joker's was well done, even, I mean, conceptually, it wasn't a great idea, but... Yeah, like it was well, what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was technically good, despite being artistically questionable.
Well, you know, it's that's the character design, and that was somebody else's problem. But I mean, Killer Croc was in there, and Katana. I feel like I can't remember if she what was, but the Enchantress was in there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who catches on fire.
Oh yeah, so.
Will Smith was the correct black. You know, you gotta keep your normal skin colors regular. Not everyone can be green or blue and white, you know? Mm-hmm. So, congratulations to Suicide Squad. I kind of hope they win. I really kind of hope they win, because that would be hilarious. But, I mean, let's also remember that Juicy J, the rapper from 3-6 Mafia, had an Oscar before Leonardo DiCaprio and Will Smith and many women of color, so...
Will Smith still doesn't have an Oscar. Keeps making these terrible movies.
From what I understand, because people, I think someone pointed it out, they're like, oh yeah, we campaigned for years about Leonardo DiCaprio not having an Oscar, but Will Smith didn't have one either, despite being in a lot of actually good movies. A lot of trash, I'll give him that, but... Yeah.
I feel like he's in, like, one Oscar-baity movie a year right before it's time for them to, like, close decision-making.
Probably. Well, I mean, he'll do, like, The Pursuit of Happiness, and then, like, I Am Legend, which is kind of genre film, and then he'll do some other stuff, and then, like, Shark Tale, or After Earth.
Yeah, so whatever, like, whatever the movie he was in around Christmas time was apparently, like, the twist was, like, really horrible and stupid. Like, I can't remember the... It had, like, Helen Mirren and some other people in it, and it was, like, concepts were visiting him and trying to inspire him to be a better person, and it turned out that, like, his coworkers had paid three actresses to come pretend to be, like, the concept of kindness or whatever in order to help him.
Oh, yeah, Collateral Beauty.
That's the one, yeah.
Was it good at all?
I didn't see it, but I heard it was, like, that twist was just, like, shockingly stupid for the people in the movie theater.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Like, surprise, you weren't actually being visited by, like, a sentient concept.
I mean, that's a better twist than, like, that being true, in my opinion. I don't know. His name's actually Willard. I would have assumed it was William.
I did know that. Willard Smith.
Willard Carroll Smith, just so you know.
Oh, my.
Yes, Junior. And that's all we need to talk about Will Smith after... Did we mention Will Smith last week?
Yeah, because he's gonna be Dumbo.
That's right, because that was in the title. Yeah, let's just move on from that smoothly. I believe, is that all the movie news that we really need for now?
Yeah, let's jump to something else. Let's do music, maybe.
Yeah, let's do something. Let's get funky on them, right? How about you want some more electro swing? Here's something spooky, maybe. So enjoy this music, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back from that musical break. We hope you enjoyed that music. We hope it has a nice air of gravity around it, a lot of strength to it, you know. Hope it's not too ghostly for you. These things will make sense if you've heard the song or you knew it's from. And we are back. Make sure you go support the artists, go check out their music. But now we need to have a chat, dear listeners. America needs a kick in the ass. We need to remember our ideals. And you can always do that with a great character, right? You want to tell us about some stuff?
Yeah. So, quite literally, this is a character who could kick America in the ass, because kicking things is her her MO, really. America Chavez is the character from Young Avengers, and more recently, who's been in the Ultimates, is getting her own comic book, just called America. It's pretty cool, because America Chavez is a Latina lesbian. So it is cool
nice.
To have
it's good.
A character headlining a book just called America that is about like a marginalized part of American society, kind of bringing her to the forefront. She's a very badass character.
The most the most American thing you can be is a badass queer woman of color.
Yeah,
essentially, that's the American dream, is to be close to that, I think. And we've been struggling with that for about 400 years.
Yep.
But we'll get there.
We're getting there. This is a step in the right direction. I think it's going to be good. If I am correct, it is being written. Yeah, it's being written by a Latina woman who may or may not be queer. I think she is.
Cool, so this is not going to be a bunch of bullcrap.
Yeah, so it's not going to be, like, going to have, like, the issues that, for example, the Spider-Man comic sometimes has in the fact that Miles Morales was invented and written by a white man.
To check all the diversity boxes.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's going to be good, and it made news recently. It's still not out yet, the first issue isn't out yet, but it made news recently in that they released the cover art for the second issue. Joe Quinones, who is one of the head honchos at Marvel, is also an artist for them. He did Captain Marvel for a while. He has a very good art style for this kind of, like, he draws no-nonsense women. Like, his art is not ever cheesecakey. It's very straightforward and, like, punchy in every meaning of the word. And so I think he's a good match for the series. Nice. But
like a Beyonce inspired cover, it looks like.
Yeah, he did a cover that was inspired by one of Beyonce's outfits in Formation.
Like, yeah, the one with the top hat and the eyes covered.
Yeah, like the big necklaces and stuff. So America the character always wears like red, white, and blue, like America kind of themed outfits. She's very loyal to her brand despite not being actually American. She's like from a different dimension. Like,
wait, hold on, what?
America Chavez is from outer space, from a different dimension. It has two lesbian moms who also can punch through space-time like she does.
That sounds like nonsense. I should have been reading this for a while. This is like, this sounds like complete and total bullshit, but like in the way that I want to read it and like make people aware of it, not like in a bad way.
I'll lend you my Young Avengers comics next time we're in the same state.
Oh, geez, that sounds like homework, but I'll do it for America.
You'll enjoy it.
You know my taste. Well, this is a nice change of pace from the last time we had an America character in the comic news, right?
Yeah, because last time we were talking about the, like, weird, not Marvel's America spinoff.
Yeah, America Vasquez from, I don't remember who was doing this. This was Image Comics.
Is going to be putting it out, but they're all creator-owned projects. They don't have, like, an overarching editorial.
Okay.
Like, guidance, so all of the nonsense is on the creators of it.
Well, they decided to lean in their nonsense. If you remember hearing us talk about it in a past Geekly reveal or character reveal, we've been doing this for long enough that I don't remember now, which is kind of a nice landmark. but yes, America Vasquez?
Yes.
Is that the right one? Yeah, she canonically doesn't wear underwear, and that's apparently it's an important creative decision, is what the creative team had mentioned specifically in an interview. And that's the kind of weird stuff the comic's known for in a bad way.
Yeah, so I'm looking a lot more forward to the America Chavez version.
Yeah, me too. It sounds like it actually has story beats going for it.
Yeah.
I guess that's from like July, so maybe they got their shit together, but I've seen comics. I know better than to get my hopes up.
Yeah, the only thing I think is weird is that ever since this, like, Formation-inspired cover has been coming out, people are, to some extent, referring to America as a Beyonce-inspired character, despite the fact that she's been around for a long time.
How long is she, like, so wait, hold on. Let's just think for a second, right? Because Beyonce has been around for a very long time now. If for some reason you were that inspired by Destiny's Child's version of Beyonce back in the 90s, cool.
Yeah. America Chavez, the second Miss America, first appeared in September 2011. And she was created by the same creepos who are writing the America Vasquez comic.
Wait, so it's possible she was inspired by Beyonce?
The original one could have been inspired by Beyonce to some extent. But,
I don't think I don't know if this article is really. They might just be. Actually, they don't even mention that in the article. That's just the headline. This is clickbait stuff. We got tricked. Well.
Whoops.
Oh well. Well, that's better than the cheesecake nonsense that's going on. You want to hear some more cheesecake nonsense that's going on?
Yeah, let's go with that segue.
So, those who may know, Hideo Kojima. an auteur of sorts, makes very interesting video games, everyone will admit. Kind of has a weird relationship with his depiction of women, to put it lightly.
That's one way to put it.
And, you know, everybody's kind of at the point where, on the full spectrum from staunch feminists who will say that all men need to die, all the way to the other end of the spectrum of meninists who think that all women need to die, in a, despite how they think women are property, they still, whatever, the metaphor stands. All those people on that spectrum think that Kojima kind of is a liar about how he draws and adds women to his games. So, he was in an interview, I'm reading this from NeoGAF, so, you know, if this is wrong, don't cite me on it. He was in an interview with BBC One, and he defended the way he depicts female characters in his games, right? So, but he said, you know what's going to be different in the next game? I'm going to approach it a little bit differently. And anyone who's played video games starts to roll their eyes.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, what I really want to avoid is, like you see in some games, characters with big breasts with no backstory. If I make characters that at first glance might look like this, then they'll have deep background to get, they'll have a deep background story to give a specific reason why.
Like, look.
Nobody believes that.
First and foremost, though, like, what? How do you give a deep backstory to explain why someone has D cups? Like,
I'm going to hope that that was just a translation thing where they just missed some of the
nuance, like.
Because I think what he must mean is characters that are like...
Like hourglass figures, like...
That are shown off.
And are showing them off, yeah.
Yeah, because you could have like a... Like, you could be a very voluptuous woman, like in a suit of armor. That's fine. But it's once your armor is like breast shapes that now we're like... Now there's some questions.
Yeah.
That's weird. But that's just something that Kojima says. And then the thread just goes to like just like laugh at Kojima and be like, really, dude? Like... Come on, man. There's not going to be a real reason. Just admit that you like putting sexy women in your games. It's not going to make it a great thing, but come on, man. You lied to us, you lied to yourself.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, there isn't even, at this point, like, I'm at a point in my life where if you just say, look, I like sexy women, I'm making these games, I'm going to put sexy women in my games. At least you're being honest about it, like...
That's what Team Ninja does, like, they make the Dead or Alive games.
Uh-huh.
And despite what people think, I think they... Well, Dead or Alive 4, at least, not 5, I don't know about 5, but Dead or Alive 4, despite being a cheesecakey fighter, I thought was a fun game. Like, I don't know, me and my brother played it. It might be because it was the first Xbox 360 game we had, so maybe there's bias. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, there's ridiculous jiggle physics, but this game actually is fun. Like, I don't mind playing it, and... From what I remember, Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, I never played it, but I heard, despite being a porn simulator, they for some reason decided to program a good volleyball game in there, and I'm not sure why they did that, when they could have just as easily not did that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but at least they admit that, like, guys, we like sexy women. Like, there's no shame in their game. It's not great, but...
Yeah.
We're all adults here. But yeah, so I guess he's talking about his new Death Stranding game with Norman Reedus, that the women that are over-sexualized in that game, there's going to be a reason, but I don't know. Maybe there'll be a reason. Do you think there'll be a reason, Steph, that's worth defending, or it's going to be some nonsense again?
I think that if he thought that Quiet's backstory was a good reason, then his definition of a good reason will be skewed against the objective definition of a good reason.
I read on a post somewhere, and I don't know if it's true because I never play the games, but there was another man in that universe that had that condition.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I only have to... He's like, I'll expose what I need to breathe. You don't have to be naked. So it's like, this doesn't even make sense by your own metric, dude. Like, this is bull.
Yeah, there was a... I've never played the games, but I know that there was a character, a male character, who had the same condition and, like, just wore, like, a t-shirt. Like, his arms were out. Like,
and, like, you know that you're on some other level when people that are totally fine with objectifying women are like, bro, like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, just put her in a bikini and say she doesn't care. That's, we'll whirl with it. We'll just be like, Kojima is a weird guy.
Yeah. But
nope. Like, Bayonetta, her clothing is her hair. Why? There's no reason why. The reason is the creators wanted their character to look like that.
Yeah.
And we just go with it.
Yeah, I mean, like Red Sonja, like, I was reading the latest issue of the new Red Sonja series today, and I don't know that I'm going to keep reading it, because, like, the thing about Red Sonja is that she's the chainmail bikini character. Like, she is, like, the archetypal chainmail bikini, like, brawler. But, like, it's justified enough in-universe that she dresses like that because, as, like, a challenge to other people, like, I don't need armor because I'm good enough to beat you without it and not get hurt. And also because she's, like, in touch with her sexuality. But in this most recent issue, it's, like, dripping off of her, like, bikini, like, the bikini is so low over, like, on her boobs that like, she must not have nipples because they'd be showing, like...
That's my favorite trope.
So, like, there's a way to... And, like, also, they, in previous series with her, they showed that she doesn't just wear that all the time, you know? Like, if she's gonna be, like, going somewhere cold, she'll wear something warm. Or, like...
That's smart. That's a good look.
But in this, it's just, like, barely their bikini, like, TNA, and I'm really frustrated.
I want to see more TNA art that's directed at a female gaze, though. Like, still Cheesecake, because it's for the titillation, but they aren't doing it for the male gaze. I don't know what that would look like or if it exists, but, you know.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what that is.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something, like, I think there was a congressional decision about porn way back in the day that was like, porn is something you know when you see. Like, that's in the law of the United States. Like, I'll know it when I see it.
Well, it's still going to be porn, don't get me wrong. It's just not from a male gaze, that's all.
Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know what that would look like, porn, like, Cheesecake for the female gaze, but I'll know it when I see it.
Like, I won't, so let me know. Because I'm sure that I won't. The thing about privilege is, if it still fits your preferences, you don't know that it's not for you. So someone'll have to tell me. So, yes. Also, speaking of women's bodies, because I wanted to sound as creepy as possible in that segue. Actually, I whatever. So there was a glitch in Overwatch, because we're talking about this again.
Yeah. Would it really, at this point, be an episode of Geekly Reveal if we didn't bring up Overwatch at some point?
We already did, and we're going to again. But this is related to the women's bodies thing. So there was a glitch, right?
Yeah.
In the models. Did you see this at all?
Yeah, I saw the it's as part of the Lunar New Year event, Mei got like a new legendary skin, right? That with the red outfit, and it was like it was
and also like a and also a recolor like in white and purple, which is nice. She needed some more.
So yeah, so the outfit, the new skin, was rendering to give her, like, a very narrow waist.
Yes. So, what it was doing, I feel like there's a few glitches with it, because her face, like, I was mentioning to my friend, I was looking at this, I'm like, her face looks kind of weird, too. But her waist is extremely skinny, and not, like, in a cheesecake kind of way, but like a
like somebody screwed up.
Yeah, because if you look at her from the side, her dress, like, pops out in such a way that makes it look like she has a huge ass, but then her legs don't come up to meet that, so it's not that she has a big butt, it's just that the clothing was rendered weird. And it doesn't seem to be, like, stiff clothing where that would make sense either, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like it was made out of metal or cardboard. So a lot of people were like, hey, Blizzard, something looks a little bit off with Mei. And they're like, oh, shit, it's a glitch, we'll fix it.
And then people got grumpy who were like, Mei should want to look like that. Mei, it's completely unhealthy to be overweight, and why would you want her to be overweight?
Yeah, so it's not even that. Yeah, it's some butthurt gamers, like, mostly just a few. Like, it was a very loud minority, from what I understand. Because we're all starting to see that Mei is a lot thinner than we had all previously hoped. Like, in her art, outside of Overwatch, and just from looking at the models, she's not fat. Like, she's thick, which is cool. But, you know, we all would like to see more fat characters. But she's just not where we thought she was. But her waist, and this is still like, nah, dude, like, this is skinnier than she is. This is wrong. Like, please fix it. And I think they were probably just trying to do some weird stuff, like, with the hitboxes and, like, the way that the skeletons are based. So I'm sure they just didn't, like, searched into it too much, but they're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that there's some problems with D.Va, because on one of the levels, once she popped out of her mech, she'd fall through the map.
I'm not really sure
what they did for that to happen, because I guess they didn't render her outfit physically there, so she's kind of a ghost and fell through the map. So there's
which
that.
Would also lend credence to the idea that the May thing was also a glitch, because there were other glitches.
Yeah, specifically on the two characters that got, like, the most radically legendary ones, like the ones whose hitboxes are changed the most, like, because D.Va wears the skin suit, or, like, jeans and a tank top kind of thing on her other ones, and she wears a dress in her new skin.
Coupier dress, yeah.
Yeah, so they either had to, like, change her whole hitbox, or just change it so that part of her outfit wasn't able to be hit by attacks and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which probably caused a lot of problems, because, I don't know, I don't know anything about programming.
I feel like that's a lot of finessing that you have to do.
To get it to mess up, or to get it to go right?
To get it to go right, yeah. For that, like, not minuscule of a change, but, like, for that, like, specific and limited of a change.
Well, the weird part is it was only on the one map, too. So,
of course.
Like one of these, like their winter map. That yeah. I would have, so even if they never fix it, it would have zero effect on me, because I never go there, because I hate it. I don't like the modes there. Moving right along, the Olympics are coming up in, like, 4 years, right?
Yeah, sometime.
Sometime. In Japan, the Summer Olympics. Japan is hosting the Summer Olympics. It'll be in Tokyo. And they already did the thing that we know Japan so well for, having their weird charm that is only maybe second to Scotland in the United States. But I think Japan might be the masters of this. But Goku is going to be one of their Olympic ambassadors, like their mascots for it. Because okay. Why not? We already saw some Mario stuff with him.
I feel like the Olympics. Using Goku as a Olympic ambassador is kind of like a call out. Like, this is the kind of person we're going to have in the games.
I mean, that's what you should do. I like shit talking, you know? Put Super Saiyan Goku on the side of all promotion material. Like, go ahead, other countries, do your best. Which I kind of like that call out. Personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's like funny and not asshole-ish and like kind of low-key, like only people who know who Goku is already as a character will be like, ah, Goku's the strongest person ever. This is kind of a challenge.
It is, and you know, as an American, I know the last time a country tried to threaten us with blonde-haired, blue-eyed super warriors, we went in and cleaned house. So maybe this will be the next time we just like wreck house again, as if we don't already. I don't know. That's as off-color humor as I got today.
It's been a fucking week.
This week has been some shit, y'all. But luckily, there's been some good stuff this week. Crypto the Necrodancer is getting remixes, like a whole album of remixes from OC Remix.
Nice.
And that's all I saw. I think I saw it right after we recorded last week that it was coming up. But not only was there remixes coming, there was a new prequel expansion pack DLC with a whole new set of, like, a whole set of levels, more remixes involved, and, like, a new character with mechanics. So I gotta go get that. It's in early access, but I'm pretty sure they're just doing it to test it, because it's gonna come out. So
mm-hmm.
If anyone who doesn't know, Crypt of the Necrodancer is a dungeon-crawling rhythm-based game, so you move on the beats, you fight monsters, and you get more loot and all kinds of stuff. And it has a pretty bare-bones but fun little story. And I actually cosplayed from Crypt of the Necrodancer, despite what my co-host might tell you.
I was gonna say, and then there's Dom's Gaston cosplay from Crypt of the Necrodancer.
I was Cadence, but being a black man who didn't shave his goatee, I neither looked like Cadence nor Gaston, so I was just wearing a red tunic, which was useful for the Ren Fair, so, you know, recycling. But yeah, let's end on that. Here's another break, y'all. We'll see you afterwards. Peace.
Okay, we are back for the last part of our podcast. As per usual, we are going to be talking about the cool stuff we got this week.
Yep.
A bit short this week, because didn't get that much cool stuff, but Dom has gotten something. Dom, would you like to tell the folks?
Yeah, I got this app. I downloaded an app on Google Play. I think the mobile market is useful. It's called Pokemon Duel. Let me just read some of this off of the page. Right, I bought it, but I didn't buy it. It was free with in-app purchases, so I'm assuming it's going to try to get me for my money. But what it is, it's a strategy board game that uses Pokemon figures. Build a deck with your favorite figures and leap into a league match. You compete with players around the world. You fight your rivals in real time, etc. Get new figures and make your deck stronger. First player to get one of your figures to your opponent's goal. So I'm looking at these pictures. It looks like one of these things is going to be real fun for like 3 levels before it tries to get me for some money. But I only reason I know about it was showing up in my Facebook live feed trending topics, and I'm like, Pokemon Duel, what the hell is this? I haven't even heard of this. So apparently it's a thing. And also Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links seems to have a similar art style I've seen people talking about on Tumblr. So I guess, you know, the monster craze is coming back, and I'm gonna give it a shot and I'll see what it's like. Maybe it might be fun.
Yeah, sounds interesting. And I agree. I haven't heard of it at all. I don't even think it came up on my Facebook trending.
Yeah, it's not even rated poorly. It's like a good 3.5 or something on Google Play. Yeah, so this isn't a trash piece of garbage game, which is interesting for it to have no fanfare.
Yeah, especially as a Pokemon game, because I feel like I hear about that no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, some people are saying it's like a clunky interface, slow loading, fun game, but it's painful to play. Too much connection issues, bugs. So yeah, the gameplay itself seems probably pretty cool. It might just not be built very well.
Okay.
But it's official from the Pokemon company, it's not a rip-off or anything.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Did you get anything this week?
Well, I was gifted something this week. It was a ticket.
The best kind of
the best kind of thing to get, yeah. I was gifted a ticket to a play that was just called The Oregon Trail.
Okay.
That, was about a girl in the 90s who is playing the Oregon Trail game after school, and it starts talking back to her. And she lives in Oregon, and she has ancestors who did travel the trail, so, like, she creates a game that she, like, imagines is her, imagines is her history.
Okay.
Her personal history, but the game, because the game is, like, semi-omnipotent and is talking back to her, you kind of, like, look at her life through the lens of the game is, like, something you have to keep moving forward. Like, sometimes you encounter obstacles, you've lost all your resources, like, Billy has died of cholera, like...
And this is a play.
Yeah, this is a play.
That's wild.
It was wild. I liked the first half better than the second half. So the second half, like, it was like, you can pick an Ivy League school, like, great friends, lots of job opportunities, or a mediocre state school. She's like, cool, I'll pick the first one. They're like, no, that choice is not available.
I see they're making some commentary.
Yeah, so, like, it was, like, kind of, the second half of it was, like, a lot of, like, commentary on, like, millennial malaise, I guess. Like, she grows up from, like, the seventh grader, like, the awkward seventh grader playing Oregon Trail to, like, a jobless, like, 20-something living in her sister's apartment and, like, cool. Just watching TV all the time.
Great. I love going to plays to get talked to.
But, like, it didn't end in, like, strong moral lesson, like, be better at life, like, get over depression. Like, it wasn't like that, but it was just like, all the stuff in the, like, set in the 90s was, like, it was really funny, like, and, like, the way she was dressed, and, like, she pulls out, like, a floppy disk and a Capri Sun out of her backpack and sits down at this giant computer. Like,
excessive.
Yeah. It was just, like, funny and, like, referential, and then it kind of got heavy.
Good, the bait and switch.
Yeah, but that's what I saw a play about, an omnipotent game of Oregon Trail this weekend, and that's what I got.
Nice. Did I ever tell you about the I saw this play in like middle school, high school, must have been high school, where it started out like this nice little play, and if I would have saw it now, the allegory is extremely heavy-handed. But I'm pretty sure they tried to bait and switch us. So it was like just a story about like these kids in high school getting over their social issues or bullying or whatever, right? And there was just like it was a janitor was there and just kind of helping them with their problems, you know? And this is where they would employ the magical Negro trope if they were fine having black actors in these musicals for high schoolers in white areas, which they didn't. So it was just like the janitor from Scrubs, but a good guy. And he's like, "Hey guys, we'll help you with your problem." So we saw like this nice play before lunch. So they were like hanging out in our gym classes and cafeterias. And we're like, "These people are really cool. They're like college kids or something, like in the arts program." So the part that ended at school was like, "Hey, you know, everything's starting to come to a head." And people are like, "You know, that janitor's really in our business. We need to show him what for." And they're like, "Hey, if you want to see the rest of this play, come to like the fire hall tonight. We're going to be putting the rest on." And I'm like, "This seems pretty cool. Like, there was cool music. They had that one, like, that song, There's Gotta Be More by, like, Stacy Orko." So it was, like, pretty fun. So we go there, and they bait and switched us. This wasn't just, like, a regular play. So it goes, we see the whole thing all over again. It's like, "Man, that janitor's really in our business. We need to get rid of him." Like, "Yeah, we should crucify him." And I'm like, "Come again?
Excuse me.
Like, we need to crucify the janitor." So they're, like, chanting, "Crucify him." I'm like, "I think they tried to get us here about something else." So they're like, "Yeah," it was like a whole religious thing. "And like, you know, we want to talk to you all a little bit after this, you know, just kidding, like, let's talk about God some." And I'm like, "I'm kind of uncomfortable with this, you guys. I feel like you tricked me into coming to a Bible thing. It just seemed like this fun poppy musical, and I think that might be why I have a distrust of plays into this day, because they've only been used to get me into like Bible camp."
Just the idea of that is so strange. Like, any play that would just like end with like a, "But wait, there's more. To find out the actual end, come somewhere else at a different time."
Right.
Like,
You know, I don't know what I was thinking about, but it was like, this can't be bad. And I was genuinely curious. I'm like, "Well, what happens?" Like, because it was that morbid curiosity, because you know they'd have you at school for like assemblies where they're like, "Hey, there was a drunk driver, but it wasn't the drunk driver who got hurt. It was this innocent kid." And you're like, "Well, what happened to him? I want to know." Like, morbid curiosity. It's always somebody who got like horribly disfigured, unfortunately. And you're like, "I didn't really actually want to see it, but this is how you've conditioned me." So I was like, "I want to know what happens. Is it going to be like, does the kid pull through? Is there like a school shooting? Is it not drinking and driving? Like, what's the moral?" I kind of wanted to know what the moral was. I didn't know it was going to be like, let God into your lives. I'm like, "Oh, well, it's interesting that the school was able to like sanction this, and good thing we have that nice divide between church and state in our schools." But that was years ago. That was over 10 years ago. Wow. That was over 10 years ago in high school. I'm getting old. So other things we got this week. We got the Overwatch event. Happy Chinese New Year, Lunar Festival, New Year. It's the
Year of
Year
the
of the Rooster
Rooster.
event, which brought us lots of cool things, including new sprays for characters, new voice lines, new skins, legendary skins, and Capture the Rooster, which is their Capture the Flag mode, because Overwatch and Jeff Kaplan want you to grab the cock, aka Capture the Rooster. It's an all right mode. It needs some tuning and work, but it's pretty fun. You need a lot more teamwork in it. And the skins are really beautiful. Mei's skin is beautiful. D.Va's is beautiful. Zenyatta, Winston, Roadhog, Reinhardt have Journey to the West costumes. Junkrat gets recolored so that his bombs are fireworks and stuff. Chaser got something because mascot. And some other cool things here and there. It's a nice thing. It's fun. Despite the glitches, despite the bad timing of like loot boxes, it's fun. I'm glad to get it, so.
My loot box wasn't very exciting. I still haven't gotten any like actual like legendaries or anything in any of my loot boxes. I'm still pretty low level, so I level up relatively frequently and get loot boxes relatively frequently. But they but I got like a the Sanzo Zenyatta icon, which is now my
Nice.
icon because I'm excited about that. I think that's a cool recolor.
Yeah, it's so good.
Got some voice lines, so.
I think my icon is like Poppin' Bubbly from New Year's was one they had during the winter event.
Yeah, mine was hot chocolate before, but.
I am really happy to see them not just having Western holidays. So, I don't know much about the Lunar Festival, but it is nice to see them not just do Christmas and that kind of thing, because the winter event pretty much was Christmas. So it's nice to see some other things being represented. As long as I get the diva skin, I'll consider it a success.
And we'll see. We were guessing that if there's going to be a comic tied to this event, that it would be out on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, they released like a mural comic thing, like a Journey to the West mural that kind of has like a little story going with it, but it's obviously not canon to anything here, so hopefully they release something that's story related. But if not, I think everyone's already beyond. We already got more than we thought we were going to get by this time in the year, because the winter event was
Was not that
like
long
2 weeks
ago.
ago. Yeah, like 2 weeks have passed, and they're like, "You want some more stuff? We got you." But the mode is fun, and the update came. There's a lot of other stuff in there too. You can equip more than just one voice line now, one emote, one tag. Like you can do like little separate wheels, so I can run around saying "Can't stop, won't stop, jackpot, woo!" All kinds of Lucio and Diva lines. So I can be worse to people.
And the we were wondering, I don't know if we were wondering on the podcast or not, but we were wondering if there was going to be a Valentine's event, and presumably not, since this ends on the 13th of next month.
Mean, they might give us like some skins or something. It might be funny.
But yeah, so then I'm wondering what the next event would be.
Well, I think a good two things about that. A good practice seems to be looking at what WoW has already done, because they're World of Warcraft, their events tend to sync up since it's easy for Blizzard, I assume. Also, they might do for Valentine's Day. So, I know when the newer map came out, not Oasis, but like Reinhardt's Castle, when that came out, he got two legendary skins, like without there being an event. They were just, you still have to unlock them, but they were just there. And when New Year's came, people got New Year's resolution lines. Like, they didn't announce that this was going to happen. It just was updated one day and people realized it. So I think that we might get like Valentine's Day like lines and stuff in the like interactions, like while you're in the spawn room, people might say stuff to each other. So there were some like leaked lines before. This might be where they come into play, but I don't know. St. Patrick's Day, some spring festival or something. I don't know. Maybe
Yeah.
we'll have to just wait till summer again.
It's a mystery. That'll be harsh to have two like big events like 3 weeks apart, and then like a dry spell until summer. Do they have like a beachy event though yet? I feel like, but if they haven't had like if they don't have beach skins at some point, there's gonna be pool party Overwatch.
Yeah, well, I hope they do it. They might not because League of Legends does it, but I don't see that as a reason not to. I mean, they already ripped off Team Fortress as a whole. They haven't done anything beachy. I don't know what Summer Games is going to look like because that was very much the not Olympics. And I don't know if they're going to just do that every 4 years or every year or every two. I don't know what their rotation will be. But I think beach stuff could work so well. That might be like their spring.
I mean, like beach stuff is like it's not a trope or like beach recolors or designs or whatever isn't limited to League of Legends. Like every anime that is longer than 20 episodes has a beach episode, and some that are shorter than 20 episodes have a beach episode.
That is
Like
true.
it's like a standard thing
Well, they could get some
in
really cool stuff there for sure. Like obviously, like anybody with a gun could get a water gun. Bastion could be a sand castle. That could be super dope. Like we don't deserve that.
like various like some people could have like bathing suits, but like someone could have like a surfer wetsuit or like
Yeah, or no, you have to have Soldier 76 like in that like old man like that old man onesie like the stripes
the
thing that
striped
like sailors would have. Yeah,
onesie.
like I like whenever they play up his grandpa status is my favorite thing.
And like someone deeply un like Reinhardt or someone like would be the Speedo guy, like
It's gonna be Roadhog.
like someone like deeply not suited, or like that just no one wants to see them in a Speedo would be the Speedo guy, because that's the kind of person who wears a Speedo.
So Junkrat.
Yeah, I feel like Junkrat actually. Cool, because Junkrat's pants already are just, like, board shorts, so to change it, it would have to be.
He should get a surfer suit, actually. Like, he should get a surfer suit, and, yep, there's speedo potential everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's...
Gosh,
that's,
on that note...
That's a good place to stop. There's speedo potential everywhere. Yes, and that's got to be the title.
I was gonna say, that sounds like a title for.
That's gotta be it. I mean, that's pretty much how you would describe Overwatch. Anyway, there's speedo potential everywhere. Anyway, say you want to hear more of this nonsense, you might want to go on Twitter. You might want to follow me at Brother Dom, BROTHADOM. Anywhere on the internet, Instagram, Snappity Chats, anywhere where I might be, even Twitch. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph or on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. You can find this podcast at Twitter too. Isn't it an amazing world we live in? That's Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle, Character R-E-V. You can find us at characterreveal.simplecast.fm or on Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, or iTunes after almost a year, or maybe just like 5 months or whatever, it doesn't matter. Or probably other archives. I use an app called Podcast Addict, and it gets me the podcast as well. So other third parties should go through nicely. If you want to hear more long-form thoughts from us, maybe you want to get into some intersectional feminist blogging-type action, you can go over to the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. We both have articles up, because Steph writes an article, like, every single day, it seems like. And I had one
go twice a week.
Twice a week, that's 4 times as much as me. So it's averages, friends, because I do once every 2 weeks. You know, you're like, that's math. But I'd want to go up today as of recording, or Sunday that just passed when you're hearing this. And it's about something. Vulnerability in media. Yeah, sincere vulnerability. I forgot. I actually wrote it on time, like a week ago. So I forgot what it was about. And you have something coming out soon, probably, right?
Yeah, it'll be Monday, so tomorrow as of recording, but yesterday probably as of this going up. I've got a review of the Red Sonja, the latest Red Sonja comic that is out in the world.
Excellent. So yeah, once you're listening to this, pop over to Lady Geek Girl Friends and get that at, what, noon it pops up on?
Yep.
It'll already be out, but 8 a.m. and noon every single day until we fade into the sun death of the world.
Yeah. Or until net neutrality stops being a thing.
Well, hey, you know, hopefully it's the sun thing that happens first.
Yep.
One can only hope. But that's it for today, friends. Thank you for listening. This one might actually be shorter and closer to the length we were shooting for originally. And thanks for sticking by. Tell your friends, tell your family, and be safe out there, stay strong, and never stop fighting. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.